Jr. As mentioned, our speaker is Brother Terry Allen, sermon titled Conservation, scripture 2 John 8. Scripture reader, Brother Tom Milligan, presiding at the Lord's table, Wiley Edwards and Charles Hopkins Jr. Closing prayer, Brother Greg Shriver. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to assemble for worship. We're thankful, Father, for every opportunity that we have to serve thee. Pray, Father, that everyone present today will benefit, will grow stronger in the Christian walk. Be with us, Father, now in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. You would turn to your books, page 806. 806. See verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
I'd like to stay here longer than men's allotted day. And watch the sea changes of life's uneven way. For if my Savior calls me to earthly home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory high and high. For yes, I'll live in glory high and high. I'll still and sing love's story there on high. There with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. For yes, I'll live in glory, high and high. The end I know is near me, by faith I look away to yonder hopes eternal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to him forever and look beyond the sky, and live with him forever in glory by and by. For yes, I'm living glory high and high. I'll fill and sing love's story there on high. There with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. For yes, I'll live in glory by and by.
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, please turn to hymn books, page 365. 365. We'll sing all three verses of this hymn.
Pass me now, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on the earth I heart lonely, and you that pass me I'm calling you, Savior, Savior, why don't you hear my heart? Healing
So thankful to you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us, Heavenly Father, with another day. Another day to enjoy this life you have given us, Heavenly Father. Another day to enjoy this world that you have created for us, Heavenly Father. Another day to be able to come together, to fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to come together taking this worship service, to hear another portion of thy word, Heavenly Father, to learn, Heavenly Father, to be able to grow stronger as Christians, Heavenly Father. An opportunity for those that may have not taken the steps to becoming Christians, that they can learn and be encouraged to one day come forward, Heavenly Father, and to be baptized into Christ, Heavenly Father. We just thankful, Heavenly Father, that as we begin this week, Heavenly Father, giving us this avenue of prayer, Heavenly Father, but we know that we face so many challenges, Heavenly Father. We encounter so many problems, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that we will not deal with these manners in the way that the world will deal with them, Heavenly Father, but we will do so in accordance to thy will, to the scriptures, Heavenly Father, to do so in a manner that will be pleasing to you, in a manner that Christians should handle any problem, Heavenly Father. For we know that we do not walk through this life alone, Heavenly Father. You are constantly by our sides, Heavenly Father. We're never alone. We don't have to be discouraged, Heavenly Father, for we know that you will give us the strength to overcome any adversity that we may face, Heavenly Father. We just pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that you would be with all those that were mentioned sick, that they will receive the care that is needed so they can be returned to their much wanted health. Pray that you will be with the Boatwright family at this time, Heavenly Father, during their time of grieving, that they will receive the comfort that is needed at this time, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that for our brother Terry Allen, Heavenly Father, thankful that we had this opportunity to meet him and his family, Heavenly Father. Pray that you watch over them throughout this day, that you keep them safe when they journey back to their home. And we're just thankful for this opportunity to hear portion of the word, the lesson that our brother Terry is going to bring to us this morning, Heavenly Father. We pray that we will give him our attention, Heavenly Father. We know that he worked hard to put this lesson together. We pray that which we learn, we can apply to our daily lives, Heavenly Father. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with the leaders of this congregation as they continue to tend to the needs of this congregation, to the needs of this building, as they continue to keep us safe and healthy, Heavenly Father, as we know that we still have the COVID-19, that we will take the measures to keep each other safe and healthy. You be with all those that voluntarily weak, Heavenly Father, to make sure that we follow all the guidelines, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us through the rest of this day, that we will continue to be thankful for all thy blessings, Heavenly Father, that we will, that you forgive us of our sins, that you help us to avoid any temptations that we may face. For these three acts, for these things we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name, amen.
Before partaking the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn books to page 310. 310. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Jesus King. Be there the cross, there the breath, such fountain, free to all, but here we dream. Till I reach.
As we come together today on this first day of the week, to prepare to take of the Lord's Supper, you know, it is human nature to have so many things in our daily lives that can distract us, so many things that happen that sometimes you put you in a certain mood. And in so many cases, whether it's doing our jobs or dealing with certain things, we're able to just go ahead and do it, even though my mind might not be in the right place. But when it comes to the Lord's Supper, we can't partake of the Lord's Supper in that way. For as you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27 through 32, we'll be doing so unworthily. And it's why we, each and every first day of the week, we come together and we preside over the Lord's Supper to make sure each and every one of us are able to clear our minds of anything that may be going through your mind, to make sure that we are focused on the right thing, and that is the remembrance of the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made on all our behalf. And we have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father, to come together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, for all of us to have this opportunity to clear our minds, Heavenly Father, to be able to reflect on that sacrifice that thy Son Jesus made on our behalf, Heavenly Father. And we know, Heavenly Father, that he was without sin, Heavenly Father, that no one took his life, Heavenly Father, that he gave his life willingly, for he loved this world so much. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this bread, which represents thy Son's body, that would do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let us bow and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. O kind and merciful Father, we're so grateful and so thankful and so humble. The precious blood of Christ Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for the privilege and the honor we have to partake this cup in his memory. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Amen. If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And also the emphasis is put on the manner in which we give to make sure that our hearts and our minds are in the right place so that we can show just the appreciation to our Heavenly Father for all that He has blessed us with. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to give back. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, so thankful unto You, Heavenly Father. Thank You for giving us this day, for we know that we would not have life, Heavenly Father, if You had not given us life. We would not have all that we have in this, Heavenly Father, if it wasn't for Thy kindness and Thy love for each and every one to bless us with all that we have. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, for that we, as we prepare to give back, that we'll do so, that it'll be pleasing, that we can use all that the money that we that is collected, that we can use to strengthen this congregation, to tend to the needs of this building, that we can show our gratitude, Heavenly Father, for giving us the ability and the will to be able to provide for our loved ones, Heavenly Father. For we know that You have instilled that into each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that as we give, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in Thy sight. For this we ask for in Thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books at page 22. 22, that would be our song of encouragement. After marking that, please turn to page 999. 999.
Is real, for He has walked and made.
Sermon topic to today's lesson is conservation. And the scripture reading is taken from the book of 2 John, verse 8. And that's 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Brother Terry Allen.
Once again, we can say good morning to each of you, and we are thankful to God for your presence of being here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. And if you are visiting and not a member of the body of Christ, as always, our confidence and our hope is that you will consider the words of God as relative to your salvation. God is truly concerned about your salvation and our salvation. I'm thankful for this invitation from the leadership, for this congregation, for your fine greeting. I'm thankful to God for my family to be with me, Lisa and Montanay, and just want to say that I'll try to be finished before midnight. When we think about how beautiful the Lord is, I really appreciate that last song that was led. God is real. And there's no doubt in my mind that He's real. When we think about God and what all God has done for us, He gave us His only begotten Son that because of Him, we can have the right to eternal life. And so when we think about the song of encouragement, we need to realize that that may be your opportunity
that God gives you to put our Lord and Savior on in baptism. And for we who have already obeyed the gospel of Christ, we trust that if our lives is not in line with the will and the word of God, that we will make a change. Conservation. In the first century, the church, the early church, enjoyed a remarkable growth and which spread throughout the world because of the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Christ. But an obstacle to this growth transpired during that period of time where many false prophets, false teachers, was causing an opposition to that growth. And that same obstacle is still in this 21st century. When we think about the second letter of John, John was concerned about the elect lady and her children. He was concerned not only for them, but I believe for us even this day. His concern and his focus was abide in God's commandments, but abide not with false teachers. Walk in God's commandments, but watch for counterfeits. Practice the truth. Also protect the truth. Walk in truth, but also walk in love. Avoid false teachers and their false doctrine. John was concerned about the elect lady and her children, whom he loved in the truth. But not only he, but for all that knew the truth. John was concerned about them conserving what they had gained so that they may receive that full reward. Perhaps you and I have heard of conservation. Conservation of trees, conservation of wildlife, conservation of energy, conservation of forestries, farmlands, and even finance. But when we think about the word conservation, it means to protect that which could be lost. It means to protect where that could be a depletion. When we think about the word conservation, it means the act or the process of conserving. Now, brethren and friends, and those of you who are under the sound of my voice, we need to understand there are some things that you and I can lose from the standpoint intellectually. We could lose our memory, we could lose our mind. Physically, we could lose those which pertains to our health. Materially, we could lose that which is valuable. Spiritually, you and I could lose our soul. And so when we think about what John says, I want us to reread for emphasis sake verse 8 of 2 John. John says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we wrought or worked for, but that we receive a full reward. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for thy Son who is the Christ. Father, we ask you to help us to keep those things that we have gained as we walk this Christian journey. Father, we ask you to help others who have not started this journey, that they may gain the knowledge that is able to save their souls. Father, we have so much because of you. We have so much because of thy Son, who is the Christ. Father, help us that we may see the end to this full reward that you have for us. And this we give thanks and we ask it in your Son, Jesus. Amen. Conservation. Let us conserve what God, our Heavenly Father, has caused us to gain. John uses the similar language that he wrote to Christ to
to the Lord's church in Thyatira. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 25, he puts it this way, according to what Jesus said, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." And then to the church of Philadelphia, he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And so what are you saying, John? John is saying, first of all, take care not to lose what you have worked for. John says that you must not lose what you have been working for. John says, don't lose what you have accomplished. John says that we must watch ourselves lest we lose what we have gained, not only as individually, but collectively. And so the question you and I need to be asking ourselves this morning, what can we lose as the people of God? And secondly, what should we conserve as the people of God? And so if we can answer these two questions, which can be answered from the Word of God. First of all, there is a possibility of the loss of gain. Now, John lets us know. He says, look to yourselves. So this is a self-guardianship. In other words, something that you and I need to watch out for. Look to yourselves. So what can we lose that you and I have gained, those of us who are in the body of Christ? First of all, we can lose the love that you and I have gained. Well, how do we know this? Well, first of all, in this second epistle of John, I want you to notice in verse 5 and verse 6, he says, "And now I beseech thee, lady, as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning," underline this in your mind, "that we love one another." This is the love, that we walk after his commandments. "This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in." When we think about losing the love that we have, we can lose love for one another. We can lose love for obeying the commandments of God. And we can lose love for the saving of lost souls. And so how do we know this? Well, in our Bible, we find that in Revelation chapter 2, I want you to know the church in Ephesus, when the Bible says it left their first love, guess what they did? They had a loss. Nevertheless, in chapter 2 of Revelation, nevertheless, Jesus says, "I have somewhat against thee." Why? "Because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the works, or else I will come quickly and remove the candlestick of his place, except thou repent." So we see here, brothers and sisters and friends, they had left their first love. And so the possibility is there. When we think about the body of Christ, we are constantly reminded to love one another. Matter of fact, God commands us to love one another. And when we think about loving one another, we find that Jesus says in John 15, verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So the kind of love that Jesus wants you and I to have toward one another is on a higher playing field. His standard is higher than my standard or your standard. When we think about John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you," that ye love one another. And so the possibility of falling out of love with one another in the church is a possibility. Why? Because we see that in the first century, there was those who fell out of love. They fell out of love with obeying God. They fell out of love with one another. And they fell out of love with the saving of souls. The Bible lets us know, when we talk about loving God, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength," with all that we have is to love God and to love our neighbors as so. So when we think about love, love can be lost. It is one of the things that you and I gain. We remember in Bible study this morning that love is taught. And when we think about how important love is, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, Paul says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not brag or boast or vaunt itself. Love is not arrogant or puffed up. That's the wrong kind of love. But the kind of love that God wants us to have is that love of agape love. When we think about some reasons why we may lose this love, because Jesus gives us a reason why we may lose this love. How do we know? Tell us, Jesus. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 11, Jesus said that many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And then in verse 12, here's the answer. And because of iniquity, lawlessness, shall abound or increase, the love of many shall wax cold. Or in other words, grow cold. And when we think about it, but he that endureth unto the end, Jesus said, the same shall be saved. So people are falling out of love all the time. When you think about the Greek word eros, that's between the husband and the wife. Sometimes husband and wife fall out of love with one another. When we think about storge, that's the family love. Sometimes family fall out of love with one another. And then there is philia, that is brotherly love. And sometimes we fall out of love with one another. And then ultimately agape love. Sometimes we don't love as God has commanded us to love. And so there's the loss. When I think about another loss that you and I can have, we can lose our enthusiasm, our zeal. Where's the excitement in the church? You know, when I obeyed the gospel of Christ in December the 12th of 1990, I was so excited about obeying the gospel of Christ. I wanted to tell the whole world with what little that I knew. But I'm here to tell you, I still have that excitement. And sometimes in the church, we need to still have that excitement. And I know God wants us to have that excitement. I know God wants us to keep our zeal. You remember the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, when you read verses 14 through 19, you'll find that Jesus had a problem with them because they were lukewarm. But one of the things that when you get about time you get to verse 19, Jesus says, and as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Then he says, be zealous. Be is the present tense. It's something that we continue. When we have obeyed the gospel of Christ, we should continue to have that zeal, that fire, that excitement. You know, when we think about when we are excited about the Lord, guess what we'll do? We'll be talking to people about God. We'll be sharing the word of God with people. We'll be telling our families, even when people don't want to hear it, even our enemies, we will be telling them why? Because we have a zeal for God. And when we understand that we can lose our zeal, because Laodicea, they lost their zeal. They thought they had it going on because they had possessions and wealth and all those other things. They thought they was rich and they thought they had it really going on. But he said, you're blind and naked. You're missing one thing. Where's your zeal at? Where's your excitement at? In the church now, people are not excited. When I say people, I'm talking about God's people. We ought to be excited about the truth. We ought to be telling everyone that we can as God presents the opportunity, because God will present the opportunity. When we consider we can lose our interest in assembling with one another, that's another loss, something that we need to conserve. Why? We know what the Bible says. How many times have we heard? Did you know that Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 is one of the most... Let me put this in a kind way. Overlook command that God has given his people. When we say, the Hebrew writer, I believe to be Paul, and let us continue one another and provoke unto love. I want you to underline that. To stir up and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, a lot of times, and I'm not trying to make light of COVID, but since COVID, it seems like people don't want to assemble. And I'm not saying that when you're sick or when you know that there are some health issues, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about when you are sound body and sound mind, why would a child of God not want to assemble with the saints? We are commanded. It's not an option, brothers and sisters. We need to conserve that. We find more and more throughout the body of Christ. And don't keep blaming COVID for your lack of assembly. Because you go to the hairdresser, don't you? You get those nails done. You go to the marketplace. Hope some of you are not going to the club. When we consider, these are things that you and I can lose. Let us hasten on. What can we lose? We can lose our unity and peace. How do we know? Turn your Bibles to Romans, the chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, beginning at verse 17. Romans 16, beginning at verse 17, concluding at verse 20. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and abhor them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, selfish, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto which is good and simple concerning evil, and that the God of peace, notice, the God of peace shall prove Satan under your feet shortly. Under whose feet? Under your feet shortly. God is always looking out for his people. And God doesn't care for division among ourselves. And so when we look at it, he says that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so be it. And so we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the bonds of peace, according to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. It's so many times we shouldn't be fighting and arguing with one another over minute things. We should continue together. And so John, when in John verse 8, he was concerned about, when you read that book, you know he was concerned about false teachers, but he was also concerned about their relationship. And so Paul puts it this way, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. How is it that some of us know that we need to do the right thing by the Lord and others sort of is iffy to it? If I laid before you a dozen of oranges to my left and a dozen of lemons to my right, and for those of us that's of the same mind and same judgment, I said, now, which one is the oranges and which one is the lemons? And those of the same mind and the same judgment said, well, to the left is the oranges and to the right is the lemons. But then you always have someone that's smart. Well, I don't know, brother. That lemon sort of looked like an orange. And you know very well those lemons are lemons. So when we start thinking about of the being of the same mind, when it comes to the truth, we ought to be on the same page. We ought to understand the same, how the same being able to come with the same discernment. So why? So keep from breaking the unity and the peace which God calls for. We can lose our steadfastness. Paul was concerned about this with the saints at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 57, he says, "But thank be to God, which giveth us the victory." I want you to underline that point in your mind. The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Let's stop there just for a moment. "Be ye steadfast, unwavering, dutiful, firm, loyalty." That's what God wants us to be. Steadfast. And then, through inspiration, Paul used words that correlates with steadfast when he says, "Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Whatever you do for God, whatever you do for the Lord, will not be considered useless. So therefore, as time goes on, are you doing less than you did 10 years ago? Are you doing less for the Lord than you did 15 years ago? Are you doing less for the Lord than you are right now? So when we consider conservation, if these things don't continue with us, where will the church be? I'll tell you where it'd be. It'd be just like those that John wrote about in Revelation for some of them. Jesus, in other words, said, "Get your act together." So what do we need to conserve? We need to conserve our love and not allow it to grow cold. What do we need to conserve? We need to conserve our enthusiasm, our zeal, and stay on fire for the Lord and His church. What do we need to conserve? We need to conserve our interest in assembling with one another. And remember, it's not an option, it's a commandment. We need to conserve our steadfastness. And remember, God has given us the victory through His Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. What do we need to conserve? We need to conserve our energies and not waste them in worrying and distractions of the world. Peter said, "Casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." Some of us, if we're not careful, we act like if we're trying to carry God and rather allowing God to carry us. In Philippians 4, "And not that I speak in respect of want, I have learned in whatsoever state or whatsoever condition or whatsoever situation that I am therewith to be content." And so we find that, and we know, I don't know why sometimes people misuse this scripture in Romans 8 verse 28. "And we know all things work together for good for them." And they stop off there. For them what? "For them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose." And every last one of us who have answered the call of the gospel according to 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 14. God gonna work it out. He's gonna work it out. And so, therefore, we need to conserve and not worry on the distraction, because the world is still will continue to distract us from our focus and our purpose. We need to conserve the teaching of the gospel and help prepare others. When John, in his second letter, he begins at verse 9, "And whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If any bring unto you not this doctrine, bid him not Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deed." And so therefore, people are teaching all sorts of things, trying to make the church look bad, trying to put the church on the level of as they are. But we are above that because we are the body of Christ. "Therefore, my beloved son," Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou heard of me by many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And so, therefore, we need the conservation of the gospel. We need men who are going to continue to teach the truth. Jesus lets us know after His resurrection in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always until the end of the world. When we think about the church is the manifold, is to share the manifold wisdom of God. That's what Paul wrote to the saints in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3. Not some school, but the church. Let me say that again. You didn't hear me. Not some school, but the church is to provide the manifold wisdom. This last point as we hasten to somewhat of a close. It's a 3-hour sermon. I told Kenneth I'm going to have to slow it down. We need to conserve the institution of marriage as God instituted it. Did not God, in the beginning, when he created man in his image, and when he saw that man needed a helpmate, he took a rib from the man to make the woman, and he brought them together. And we find that their name was called Adam. Genesis 5, verse 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 25. And then Jesus had to deal with those Pharisees in Matthew chapter 19. And to remind them, have ye not read? As pertaining to the relationship of the man and the woman. See, we need to conserve that institution that God had designed between a man and a woman, between a male and a female, between a he and the she, between the masculine and the feminine, between the biological male and the biological woman, between the D-A-N man and the D-A-N DNA, that is, woman. We're confusing. This world is confusing our children, confusing grown people, confusing about who's a man and who's a woman. And God has made it clear who's a man and who's a woman. And I always say that if you can't figure it out, just look in the mirror. They can change their minds about who marriages be between one another. They can make justifications, and they can even now change body parts. But you can't change God's design. Nor can you change DNA. Nor can you change the chromosomes. But yet they still continue for sisters to try to change it and want us to change with them. We are not change agents. We are the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. So there needs to be a conservation. And so John says, look to those things. And finally, we need to conserve our young people. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 13 and 14, when they had brought the parents had brought the children. In verse 13, then were there brought unto him, that being Jesus, little children, that he, being Jesus, should put his, Jesus' hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Don't bring these children. Jesus too busy. I think sometimes we think about that today. Where are the children at? But Jesus says, suffer or allow the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. See, the play starts with parental influence. We need parents who will encourage their children, and not only encourage them, bring their children. Spend time with your children talking about Jesus and his church. We talk about our children, about everything else. We talk to them about money. We talk to them about finance. We talk to them about education. We talk to them about social things. But when are we going to start talking to our children about Jesus? God. When we think about God, even in the home, where's the good literature now? You know very well there are people who are bringing things in, even in libraries and things, teaching our young people, little children, things that they ought not to be reading. In conclusion, for now, we need to conserve what we've gained as Christians and expect to receive that full reward. Jesus reminded us in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. I believe that. I trust that. And I know it can be accomplished. Why? Because God has given us the victory through His Son, Jesus Christ, because of us answering the call, Kilio, a divine call. And so therefore, we understand that if you are in this assembly or tuning in by way of technology, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, the gospel is for you. Paul reminds us and lets us know, I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise, for as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to those that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first as well to the Greek, and therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 13 and 17. And so I say unto you, you have to have a faith. And where does it come? Faith does not come by the doctrine of men. It does not come by the philosophy of men. Faith comes by hearing the word of God according to Romans 10, verse 17. Because without it, we cannot please God. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You must be willing to not only believe, what am I to believe, preacher? You are to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what you're to believe. And after believing that, you need to make up in your mind. The word repentance is an about face. And so when Paul said to those intellectual giants in Acts 17, Acts 17, verse 30, at the time of this ignorance, God went there, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. He requires it. He also requires you to confess the sweetest name, just as Peter did in Matthew 16, verse 18. When prior to that, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus himself says it in Matthew 10, verse 32, he that confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denied me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Then you must be willing to be baptized. I know there are people still teaching that baptism is not necessary, but who are we going to believe? Jesus or them? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verse 16. And then, when you come up out of that water, you can begin the conservation process. And how long does that program last? You know, some conservation programs, they don't last long. But this program is until the day that you leave this earth. For we who have already obeyed the gospel of Christ, don't lose those things which you have gained, if you expect to receive that full reward. Please stand.
There is beyond the desert blue, a God conceals from you my sight. He sends his task with heavenly hue, and frames all worlds in his great mind. There is a God.
There is a
God. He is a God. In him we live. And we serve God from the star God.
Yeah.
Yeah.